get sales lessons from experts and entrepreneurs.
Go out there and be the spokesperson and the representative for the brand.
On how you can bring your A game in selling.
Making sales requires putting yourself out there and being vulnerable.
To start and scale your business.
We need to negotiate for what we deserve.
This is Ace the Sales Podcast, and here's your host, Roshni Burdronia.
Hey there, thank you for joining me in today's episode where I am happy to welcome Maitri Verma, who is a fellow female podcaster. She is having a podcast titled Little Fixes. Of course, we will talk more about it on the show. But before we do that, a regular reminder, that is, if you haven't followed or given Ace the Sales Podcast a 5-star rating, please go ahead and do so. Because when you do that, we are able to reach more women entrepreneurs and make a difference in their business goals through these valuable conversations. So thanks for your help. And now let's bring our guest to the mic. Hello, Maitri. I'm so delighted to welcome you to Ace the Sales Podcast.
Hi, Roshni. Thank you for having me.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself, Maitri, so that listeners can get to know you a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, hi, everyone. This is Maitri, and I'm a social media marketer. And I'm also a podcaster. My podcast is Little Fixes Podcast. And I'm a mother to a 5-year-old girl and a wife. So, yeah, that's me.
That's sweet. Yeah, thank you. So we start with a little bit of behind the scenes segment on Ace the Sales. So we'll call it BTS on ATS, which is just a way to get a little bit peep into the other side of you, which we will not get to know otherwise from your digital profile. So are you ready to share a little bit of rapid fire questions with us?
Yeah, bring it on. Let's see.
Tell us one silly habit that you have which drives people around you crazy.
I think a lot of people have this habit, but I have this habit of, you know, asking people to help me, but then not liking the way they are helping. So I just say, no, aise nahi karte.
Then you get into the perfection mode yourself.
Yeah.
Awesome. Describe yourself in 3 words.
I ask this question to my guests. I have never thought about it myself. So I would say, the first thing would be perfectionist. The second thing, you know, I always stick to my timelines. I don't know if there's a word for it. So like if I promise something, I will deliver it. So that would be the second thing. And the third thing would be impulsive, very impulsive.
Oh, wow. Impulsive and perfectionist. 2 contradictions in one place. Awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing. And one more question. When I say successful women business owner, who comes to your mind?
Okay. So I personally know a lot of women entrepreneurs because as a social media marketer also, I work only with women entrepreneurs. And I have followed journey of a lot of women. I look up to Oprah a lot. I know she is huge and a lot of people look up to her. It might be kind of a cliche also, but I just admire her journey a lot. So yeah, that's her. In India also, there are lots of women and whose journey I look up to. But Oprah is someone who inspires me.
Wow. No, I also like her because Oprah never carries that celebrity aura with her. She always makes sure that she's as relatable to you and me as she is to anyone else on this planet. So even being a celebrity, she is very relatable and her story makes us feel that if she can do it, we can do it too. So that kind of a feeling she gives. So yeah, I also admire Oprah a lot. So thanks for sharing those things with us, Maitri. Now let's get to business and learn more from you about social media and podcasting. So firstly, tell me, how did you get hooked to social media enough to take it up as a business? Because every other person, and probably you will also find yourself saying to your daughter one day, don't be on social media so much. Then how come you got addicted to it and so much so that you've turned it around into a business? So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so I used to work in a Sarkari bank at one point, but I hated it completely. So I quit it. And after that, you know, I just discovered internet. It was back in 2012. So in India, internet was not that great. But in 2012, I was in Germany with my husband. So we had a high-speed internet and I used to be on blogs all day. I had nothing to do. I used to be on YouTube. So I discovered beauty blogs and I started working with one of them. I used to write reviews and everything. Then she said that join me as a social media marketer. It was in the end of 2013. And I was like, what's a social media manager? I had no idea what is that. I was good in writing and I used to do proofreading also. But she said that you write well and you write correct English. So join me. I think nobody knew a lot about that back then in India, at least. So I just joined her and I used to do Facebook for her. I just used to write captions and select nice pictures and post them. Then I joined Instagram and slowly, you know, social media has evolved with us, with our generation. So I just, you know, kept taking it organically and I worked with her for 2 years, that a beauty blog. And then I joined agency, a branding agency in Jaipur only. And I worked with them for a year to gain, you know, more practical experience. Like I was a freelancer. Now, when you work with an agency, you get, you know, idea of how things go professionally, more professionally, how to do it in that kind of setup. So I learned that there. And then my daughter was born and I tried to continue the job from home, but I couldn't. I had no help at home. I was alone with her all day and I tried, but it was really hectic. So I just quit. After that, I started my Instagram page, which is inactive now, called Matri's Confetti. I started sharing funny quotes there. Like I was really struggling as a new mother. So I whatever quotes used to come to me, I have this habit of, you know, turning tough situations into humor, which my therapist says is not a good thing always. But I used to do it. And I also used to find good quotes on internet and I used to share them on my page. So that way, you know, I kept building kind of a profile. I won't call it a portfolio per se, but it did get me some exposure. So that happened. And then that beauty blog person started a beauty brand. So she asked me to join her again. So I started working with her again. And I was learning newer things, Instagram in a very different way. And I was also doing courses on social media. Because I was also very interested in writing, not as much as long form writing, but I like caption writing and things like that. So I was learning the nitty gritties of social media with her and with courses also. And slowly, that was also the time when I started this podcast back in 2019. Then I had to quit her beauty brand because I wanted more growth. So I started out as, you know, I was a podcaster, but I quit without a plan, but still I knew that I wanted to do something bigger as a social media marketer also. And I needed time to think. But as soon as I quit her, I got Instagram DM saying that your services are required for social media. And that was from a person in US. And she might have found me because I had my Instagram profile kind of optimized for Instagram searches. So she found me and I started working with her. I still work with her. So that's how I started. Then I slowly started building my portfolio. I learned how to pitch. And last year, I also got my GST number. I didn't know that you needed a GST number. I just used to, you know, pay taxes with my CA. She also didn't say that you need a GST number, but one of my new clients, which I was taking on, she said, you need a GST number. So I asked my CA and she said, yes, we can get you a GST number. So now the things are more professional and more streamlined. So yeah, it was a very long journey.
Yeah, that's a beautiful journey. And I love the part that it has been so organic, but you went with the flow. That's the beauty about it. And also the fact that you kept upskilling yourself. You enrolled for courses and you upskilled yourself and just went with the flow. But talk to us a little bit about how was it like when the first person reached out to you, asking you for your services and you were not prepared?
Yeah. So see, when I started working for the beauty brand, she was my friend. So I didn't have to do any selling or anything. But when that person from US approached me, I had no idea what to do. So I asked one of my friends, how do you send an email like this? She also didn't have a lot of ideas. So I just Googled something and made a kind of a proposal on an email. It was not even a document. It was just, I typed something in the email that I will provide this service and this I will charge this much. So luckily for me, even my client had no idea how this thing works. So she was like, okay, I like all these services. And I said that let's close in for 3 months. And this is what my friend suggested, that at least close in for 3 months. So I said, okay, let's work together for 3 months and we'll see how it goes. So she agreed. I also sent her two different packages and she said it doesn't matter how much I pay as long as the services are good. So I just started working with her and it went really well. And then COVID also happened. But I think her business was doing okay there. And I was also somehow not worried because social media is something every brand needed at that time also because the physical things were closed and the brands were doing everything via social media. From the start and to now, the journey with that brand has been amazing. And I am really grateful to her for giving that chance to me. And yeah, it's going well now.
You know, yeah, I love the fact that you've nailed down into a platform or a skill that is much needed by brands more than ever. Social media is something that every brand, personal or business is tapping into. But that's the reason I wanted to have this conversation with you, because social media is a very tricky gray. Just the fact that it requires you to share a lot of things which probably as a person I don't want to do. Like I myself don't call myself a very social media savvy person. There are aspects of my personal life which I don't want to share on social media, vulnerable moments or life journey. Honestly, I don't want to share anything and everything on social media. And that's the case with many people who feel this inhibition towards putting everything out there on social media. So I can call myself a private person in that sense. So in such a scenario, how does one make themselves comfortable with the social media presence?
So first thing is it's very different for a brand and for a person, like for a personal brand. So if we talk about a brand, there are obviously a lot of things which we can share. But if you are a person and you are a blogger, like influencer, which people call it. So I started out as a micro blogger. Back then, there was no term called influencer. And I was initially also very, you know, wary of sharing everything. But I'm also somehow of a very open person, or maybe I like to rant. I don't know. So I started it like that. And now through my podcast and my podcast Instagram page, I share a lot of things. Like I never thought I would share that. And I get, you know, a lot of encouragement. People tell me I needed this. Like when I talked about how I was taking therapy for certain issues, they were very, you know, people were very welcoming and they thanked me for, you know, talking about therapy, mental illnesses. And I still get messages that because you shared, I am also getting therapy. Because you shared about that person, I'm going to her. So I think if you use social media in the right way, it has the power to do good to people, to do good to yourself. And I will not say that you have to share everything now because the reels are everywhere. I don't like reels a lot. Though I have to do them for my clients, I don't do personally a lot of reels. But see, it is up to you how much you want to share. The more important thing, which I have also noticed, if you are authentic, and also again, it is a very commonly used word, or being authentic, but I think you will be able to sustain as an influencer, as a brand, as a blogger, whatever you are, if you are authentic. Because you can start seeing that I am this person, I'm that person, but you will not be able to sustain it. You will get bored of it. You will be like, no, I don't want to do it anymore. People also understand where are you coming from. So I think if you want to share even 0.0001% of your life, of maybe all your thoughts, you don't have to share personal details. So I think social media is a great platform to connect with like-minded people. There are people of every kind. There are people who want to see everything. There are people who understand your boundaries. So, and also it's up to you, the boundaries you create, because I also have a social media presence and people ask me questions sometimes, which I don't want to answer. So I tell them, like they sometimes ask me, which school does your daughter go to? I don't want to share it on social media. So I tell them, I cannot disclose this information. So it's very much up to you also, how much you want to share, and make social media your friend. Follow people who inspire you. And if someone is draining your energy, like you're looking at them, oh, I don't have that kind of lifestyle, then you have to do internal work. Plus also, if you don't, if that person is really triggering you, you can unfollow them. Social media is simple like that.
Hey there, hope you've been loving the episode so far. Just wanted to take a moment to invite you to Ace the Sales Club, which is a tribe of women small business owners who dream, dare and do amazing stuff. If that's you, which I'm sure you are, just sign up for it from the link given in show notes, as every month we share with you tools and resources that can save you time, save you money, or help you make more money as a solopreneur. So sign up for the club from the link given in show notes. And now back to the episode. That's a great tip, because you need to follow people who inspire you, not challenge or trigger you, because that is something which can push you into a rabbit hole of I'm not good enough or imposter syndrome and so many other things. But and I love the thing that you say that it's important to create boundaries around how much you want to share on social media. If I don't want to share my personal stuff, I mean, it's really hard for me to just post pictures of me traveling to a place or with my husband or my child. I don't find that comfortable, you know, because probably A, it is something to do with my work, but I'm okay to sharing it with people who are close to me, whom I know that will appreciate that personal side of me. But then that demarcation on social media is very difficult to create. That's why it's always a challenge as to how much you should put out. And so, yeah, it's been a journey for me also to just dabble with so many platforms, identifying which one works for me, where I find the most alignment with. But it's a game. So talking about social media presence and using it for the business, what are your tips on social selling per se? Because when one has a product, program or a service to promote, like you do it for your clients as well, what are some things people should keep in mind so that they don't look very pushy, but they are able to actually convert clients from their sales copy on the social media or the caption? Any tips you can give, at least top 5 or 3 tips that you can give on social selling?
Okay. So I don't know how many I have at the top of my head, but the first thing which I want every brand to understand, that you have to understand the pain point of your customer. Like, what do they need? Rather than just showing your product. Even if you are, luxury fashion brand, you don't have to always show that this is this product. Maybe you can simply understand what are they looking for and then show your product from that perspective. So that is one thing which I really like to do for my brand. Like, if there is an event coming up, you can connect it with that. Which is something a lot of brands do also, but many brands also forget. They just show this is our product and this is its features, buy it. So rather than that, I will say what does it has for me. So I see a lot of modern brands. They are doing amazing work in terms of, you know, understanding our requirements, what we are looking for. So the first thing is that you have to understand what we are looking for and present your product from our perspective. You know, from your customer's perspective. So that would be the first thing. And then the second thing would be to, if you can show behind the scenes how your product is made. This is also something I think a lot of brands are doing very well. And just show it. Even if you are a one person army, you can still show how you make your stuff. Or maybe you are a service provider. You can show behind the scenes. Today I'm working on this. just maybe you are doing a course or maybe you're a freelancer like me, you can show your life so that people know ki, ha, it's not so easy to be a freelancer. Something like that, you know, connect with them. Connecting with people is very important. So understanding what they want, then connecting with them at a deeper level rather than being just a brand. So these two things, I think, are very important. And then the third thing would be, you know, when you are on social media, you have to be very responsive, but you also, you know, responsive to your customers. Plus, you also have to play by the rules of that social media channel. If you are on Instagram, currently you have to post reels. You can post carousels also, like they are also doing good. But if you are on social media and you just want to do your own thing, figure out a way to play by the rules of that social media channel rather than just thinking that, no, I will keep doing my thing and people will come. No, because you are on social media, it works with an algorithm. It has a lot of complex features. So you have to go according to that also. So it doesn't mean that if you are posting reels, you cannot provide value to your customers. You don't have to, you know, think like that. You have to be creative because you are there to market your service. Social media has also obviously turning into a selling platform, but it's still primarily for marketing. So you have to, you know, be more creative and showcase your products and services in a way that customers will be attracted to, will connect to, and it will also go with what that particular platform wants.
Yes, it's good to be aware about both of these things. Thank you for sharing that. And now let's park social media in its place for now. And let's talk about your podcast. So what is it about and why did you start your podcast, Little Fixes?
So I had heard the term podcast, but I didn't exactly know what are they. Then in 2018, I actually listened to a podcast, I think. Yeah, it was back in 2018. And it was Jenna Kutcher's Gold Digger podcast. I listened to it and I was hooked. I loved it. I discovered a lot of different podcasts. And I used to think that why don't we have something like Jenna Kutcher's podcast in India? Then in October 2019, in fact, that idea came to me. I should start a podcast because as a teenager, I wanted to be an RJ. So I was like, why don't I start a podcast? And also because I wanted to create a platform for Indian women where they get simple, effective, actionable ideas to fix different aspects of their lives. That's why the name Little Fixes came. And so I started thinking about it. It was in the middle of November. I told one of my friends that I'm thinking. She said, go for it. Then I took a small course on Udemy and I launched my podcast immediately. I announced and it went live in December, like in the 11th December was the exact date. Actually, I just reached out to a few of my friends because I was a blogger. So I knew a few people who would be great guests who could talk about different topics which were valuable for women. So I just reached out to them. I bought a mic and I just, you know, started recording. I took it from there. I used to release one episode every week. So a Little Fixes podcast was, you know, initially it was like an audio lifestyle magazine for women. I still call it that. But now it has upgraded a little and I like to call it lifestyle upgrade, life upgrade for the sassy nari. So as I have grown as a person with my podcast, I have talked to different people and COVID has happened. So much has happened on social media. We have learned, you know, as we do different things, we grow as a person too. So now, even though I talk about different topics, my podcast is more focused on personal growth and on mental health for women.
It's interesting to see that with the growth of the podcast and acceptance of the podcast amongst your audience, you have evolved as a person and so has the category and the subjects and the topics that you are talking about on your podcast has also grown and evolved. So that's quite a journey because through the podcast, you are able to see this evolution in multiple spaces. So talk to us a little bit about how does your podcast assist or help you in whatever you are doing right now in terms of your business or your work, or does it help at all?
Okay, so I don't think so. I did talk about social media initially in a few episodes. Like, I still invite experts to give social media tips. I personally have done one or two maybe solo episodes about social media on my podcast. I do tell people that I'm a social media marketer. So if someone is listening and they like my content, they can reach out to me, but I don't directly sell my social media services on my podcast.
Mm. Then what keeps you going on this podcast or stay consistent with it?
You know, talking is something I love. I really love. I love speaking behind the mic. And whenever I have guests on my podcast, they always tell me that I make them very comfortable. You know, people are mostly nervous when they come to a podcast. That how will it go? How will I talk? What will I speak? But as soon as they start, now they are like, Maitri, you made me very comfortable. I really enjoyed it. So I know that I have it in me. And it was also a very hard thing to accept for me because we women have a lot of imposter syndrome. But now I know that I have it and I also enjoy it. So there is no money involved. I do spend money on hosting my podcast, but I don't earn anything from it. I think that's what gives me more of a motivation to keep doing it because there are no expectations. It is a pure passion project. It's for love. I do have to reduce the frequency of my episodes because of work and life, but I simply love it and I hope to keep going on with it.
That's wonderful. Lots of best wishes for that. And also, Maitri, you work and talk a lot with women entrepreneurs and who are in some way or the other managing and doing their small businesses. So what are some of the specific challenges you have come across in your conversations with them, either on your podcast or through social media engagement? What are the things that you have observed?
Okay, so I have spoken to a lot of women entrepreneurs, especially for my podcast and also for my social media work. In India, I have worked with mostly women entrepreneurs who are mothers also. So their challenges are very different because they have to manage everything and the people in their family are like, you are doing a small business. Why do you need so much support? And then there are others who have that kind of support that they want, but still they feel guilty that they are not able to do as much for their home, for their kids. So, you know, finding that balance for a lot of women entrepreneurs is difficult because we women, I think we have been taught that we need to have that kind of balance. I think most of them struggle with it. For me, I recently learned from a podcast that you don't need balance. You need integration. So now, you know, I think it like that because this is my life. My work is also a part of my life. My daughter is also a part of my life. I'm also a part of my life. This is everything which I have to do together. So rather than, you know, breaking it into segments that I will do this part, so this part will suffer. Don't think it like that. Okay, if I'm focusing on business, my family life is suffering. Think it like that you have integrated it. This is also going because when we feel that we are not able to give equal attention to both of these things, we feel guilty. But when we feel, okay, today I give attention to my business, maybe someday, maybe I will schedule a time to be with my daughter rather than feeling guilty about it. See how you can, you know, sometimes be there, sometimes be here, and it will never, never be 50-50.
Right. Instead of trying to juggle and try to do a balancing act, it's more about doing a seamless integration of various aspects of your life.
Yeah, I had also told this to a few of my women clients that, you know, we used to also talk because I was an entrepreneur, they were entrepreneurs. So we used to talk about these things and then we used to discuss, okay, so I think this was one of the challenges because they were mothers and they had a family. The other challenge when I spoke to some, you know, bigger entrepreneurs, they had that people were not taking them seriously. They wanted a man to be there. That was also one of the challenges they were facing. And I think it is one of the challenges which women generally face. And when someone imagines a social media person, they imagine a woman. And then they talk to me, what do you do? What all you do? I tell them that I do this. And they're like, you do so much. Will you be able to, you know, give your time and attention to my business? because they think this, she is a woman, she has this, she has all of this to take care of. So I tell them, if I will not be able to give time to your business, I will not take it up.
Do you get this response from women prospects also?
Yes. From women only, because I work with women entrepreneurs only, because I think we women know ourselves.
So isn't that something that would need to be corrected at our end? That if we are judging or asking someone that you are so busy, how you are going to manage? See, we are managing those same things. Then instead of congratulating or appreciating the seamless integration one is able to do in her business and life, we are questioning that will you be able to handle it or not. That is something that needs to be changed from a woman perspective ourselves.
Yeah. Most women have been appreciative, but yeah, some have been there who worry if I will be able to do it. And obviously, I have to also learn my lessons. I cannot take up every project. Sometimes I take it up and then I'm like, no, I don't have time for it. So I have to give it up also. But unless you try, you do, I don't think you will learn.
I think this is a very important message for the listeners of this episode, at least, that we don't have to bring down or pull the leg or judge the other person who is a woman entrepreneur herself as to how will she do the balancing act. At least, please don't ask the work-life balance question, being a woman entrepreneur yourself to another woman entrepreneur. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so beautiful conversation, Maitri. And just as a last message, of course, you have had your journey as a business owner. So right from the first sale that you did, which you talked about in earlier in the episode, to today being a GST verified and registered business owner, what is your message to the women entrepreneurs listening to this show? How can they fall in love with selling?
You know, the most important thing which I have realized is to value your work. I did not value my work even till last year. I wanted to make a certain amount of money. So I used to take up any and every client that came my way. I used to lower my prices. They would say, no, we cannot pay this much. I would say, okay, can you pay this much? No, this is also high. Okay, can you pay this much? And I used to do, you know, a lot of work, because people think social media is just posting pictures. So they, that is also one of the things that why they don't want to pay a lot. And also they think, okay, if she is ready to lower her prices, then maybe she'll lower it more. Or maybe if you don't lower your prices much, they will be like, okay, then add the service at that. And I think as a woman also, we taught to be accommodative. That also interferes with our business sense somewhere. I don't know if it happens with all of us, but it happens with me. And I used to undervalue my work a lot because I have been doing social media for 8 years and it comes easily to me. So I used to think, okay, this is so easy. I also used to think it like that. It's okay if I reduce my price. And then one of my friends made me realize, no, it's easy for you. It's not easy for them. And I see my clients have like really trivial questions about social media, about things. Then I'm like, okay, yeah, there is something which is not easy about social media for everyone. And it's okay because their business is their forte. Social media is my forte. So if they value their business, I value my business also. So I would like to tell every woman, please value your work, whether it is business and even if it's housework, like put a lot of value on your work, on yourself, and never, lower your price too much so that you regret it later.
It's about identifying how much they can pay to rectify the pain they are facing in their life, relationships, business, or whatever it is that you are helping them with. Social media in your case. So yes, thank you so much for this message, and thank you for the conversation, Maitri. It was a pleasure having you on Ace the Sales. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you found any value in today's episode, then remember to recommend Ace the Sales Podcast to at least one of your business buddies. You never know what insight they will get that can help them in their business. So do some good karma today. Finally, a loud shout out and thank you to the production team of Done For You Podcast, who helped me in bringing this show to you. If you too are looking to start your podcast for the business, get in touch with DFIP from the link given in show notes. Join me in the next episode for yet another conversation that can help you fall in love with selling. Till then, take very good care of yourself. This is your host, Roshni Baronia, signing off.